Good morning. Today's scripture is from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 and 35 to 41. Hear the word of the Lord. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables and in his teaching. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. We're going to continue our study today in the book of Mark, and we're going to look at about resting in the storm. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when things are going crazy, trying to rest is the last thing I want to do. I was talking to my wife the other day, and she was trying to tell me something, and I was trying to fix it. Y'all know how well that goes as guys, right, if you're married? She wants to talk. She doesn't need you to fix it. I figured I should have that figured out by now, but I still go into fix mode. And it did not end well, because why? I'm not ready to rest. I want to fix. But as we look at this scripture, we begin with Jesus teaching the crowds. He's teaching from a boat. It's kind of interesting. If you look at the next chapter, of the next several parables he gives out, he talks about seed, about sowing, which is something you do on the ground. And yet he's out on a boat. Just find that kind of ironic. He's sowing from the seashore. And he talks about the seed. And he explains to his disciples that seed is the word of God. And I just, the thought came to me that the fact is, if you want to know what kind of heart you have, ask yourself, how do you receive the word of God? In the first parable he gives, he talks about the four different types of hearts. The hard heart, the one that the word lands on and immediately goes away. The shallow, the seed goes in and starts to grow but then dies immediately. You have the ones that goes in and starts to grow and the things of the world crowd it out and it's never fruitful. And you have the one that lands on the good and it brings forth fruit. So if you want to know how your heart is, what do you do? How do you respond to the word of God? If you let it just sort of bounce off, "Oh, that sounds good," then you probably need to check your heart. We're told that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message you heard through the word about Christ. So if we want just our faith to grow, we need to understand we need to be receiving the word of God. The things about Christ. And let me tell you something. Somebody say, "Well, the Old Testament is all about Christ, actually. It's pointing to Christ." In fact, it's amazing when you start getting in depth and learning more how much of the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus and preparing the people for Jesus. So when we get into the Word of God, our faith will grow and become greater. And the disciples are in the boat hearing the Word of God, as amazing as you might think, from the Word of God. I mean, that's got me beat, hands down. He was there, he is giving it to them. Telling them about the seed. But in verse 26, it started, he also said, the kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. And then it does not know how, all by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain ripes, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You think, okay, where is this going to do anything? Here's the thing. In this parable, the man sows the seed and then he sleeps, trusting that God's going to take care of it. And what do we see Jesus going to do? Jesus is going to say, let's go to the other side. And he goes, takes a nap. And I noticed five things happening in this storm that comes up. Jesus gave the command, let's go to the other side. Pretty simple. They're fishermen. They know how to take care of a boat. You get in, you go to the other side. But then the storm came. And there, the scripture actually doesn't say they're afraid. But I don't know about you, but if the boat's seeming to sink, I'm going to be concerned. Just my own thing. You know, it's kind of just, now I'm not as bad about it as my wife. She's not a big boat person. In fact, we went on a cruise once, and for some reason, some ding-dong thought that the movie they needed to show as the premiere thing was the Poseidon Adventure. If you don't know the movie, it's the movie where the cruise ship sinks. Thank you very much. I never did send a thank you card to the cruise line to thank them for making my life so much better with my wife on that cruise. But for some reason after that, she's just a little, but it's like, you know, smooth sailing. We didn't have any issues, no storms, thankfully. So it was fine. But Jesus, he gets on this ship. We're going to the other side. He's asleep. His disciples are looking around. They're seeing the storm. And what do? Jesus, hey, wake up here. Don't you care that we're going to die? Okay. And Jesus gets up. He rebukes the storm. Then he rebukes his disciples. And then it says something very interesting. The disciples were afraid. Now, in the text, it doesn't say they were afraid when the storm was happening, though I'm sure they were. Because when you're facing what you think is certain death, most of us have a little apprehension. But it mentions specifically that after the storm, they were afraid. There's no more storm. Why would they be afraid? Because now all of a sudden they're looking at Jesus as being something more than just a good teacher. Now all of a sudden they're confronted with the fact that this good teacher is more than a good teacher. And here's the truth. When you realize that Jesus is more than just a good teacher, that Jesus needs to be Lord in your life, you can be afraid. Because this means you've got to surrender to Him. They were afraid because all of a sudden now they realize they just can't pretend like this is nice teaching. We can just take it in. They realize this meant things had to change. And I don't know about you, but I am perfectly comfortable with a lot of radical change in my life, right? How many think I just lied? Yeah. Most of you know we had a plan. We knew what we were going to do when we came to this church. And our plans went... Maybe I should say, pfft. Anyway, it went wrong. I am not comfortable with this. I thought, God, what's this change happening here? And God's only thing I'm getting is, do you trust me? It's like, I trust you. But there's still a storm. So I've got to realize, am I going to be afraid of the storm? Or I really need to be afraid of Jesus because he's the one that controls the storm. He's the one that really needs to be in control of my life. And I would dare say, as Christians, we need to have a good fear of God. Not in the fact that he's going to get us, but the fact that we need to surrender it all to him. We need to be more afraid of disappointing him than we are the change that he's calling for in our lives. We need to be more afraid of him than we are of cancer. We need to be more afraid of him than we are of unemployment. We need to be more afraid of him than we are our kids or our grandkids. We need to be more afraid of him than we are the government. We need to have a healthy fear of God in our lives because we need to realize he is God. Ultimately, he's the one we have to answer to. One other thing before I go on. Though we need to have a healthy fear of God, we don't have to be terrified of God. Because he loves us. I don't know about you, I don't think the government loves me. Sometimes I'm not always sure about my kids, especially in the past when I've corrected them. I'm not sure. I think my wife has always loved me, so that's not an issue. But God loves me. So yes, I need to be afraid in the fact of I know he's more powerful. But I don't need to be terrified of him. I need to have that healthy respect that he is who he is. Kind of like the judge who's standing there and his son comes before him who has disobeyed the law. He's coming up and says, "Okay, Dad, you're going to just let me go." He says, "Today I'm not your father. Today I'm your judge." And Jesus will be our judge. But here's the good news. He wants to be our father. But as we look at the scripture, if we look at it in light of the fact of if the disciples really realized who Jesus was, when they heard the first thing, when Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." If Jesus is controlling the storms, the waves, he can control creation. If he says, "We're going someplace," how many think, you know what, we're probably going to arrive? If he has the authority, we know he does. If he says, "We're going such and such a place," guess what? We're going to get there. Now, oftentimes in our lives, we think we understand the mind of God, and we think, "God, you've told me that this is what's going to happen in my life." And God's up in heaven saying, "That's not what I said. But God, you promised." And he's like, "Read the entire Bible, not just the verse you're picking out." I also promise things about, by the way, Jesus promised suffering and hard times for our Christians, and I don't like that. I know some of you may actually like this. I don't. If Jesus says, "You're going to face hard times," and I want to go back and say, "God, Jesus, can we make an exception here? Let it hit Dale. He's hard. He can take it. Give me a break." You know? God says, "Nah, Dale's got enough problems. You need some. You need to go through these things." Jesus promises we're going to have troubles. And Jesus in this time told his disciples, "Let's go to the other side." Guess what? They were going to make it there. And when the storm came, what was Jesus doing? What it feels like Jesus does in a lot of our trials. It seems like he's asleep. But see, Jesus had sowed the seed. And if the seed was doing the job it was meant to do, if the disciples had let it go into their hearts and grow in them and become strong in them, then they would have known, hey, it's going to be okay. But the problem is they didn't realize who Jesus was. And because they didn't realize who Jesus was, when the storm came, they saw the storm as being the ultimate problem. And how many times in our lives do we look at the problems in our lives and see them as the ultimate problem? To use video games term, they're the mega boss. They're the ones we gotta beat. And all of a sudden you're looking through your inventory on your Nintendo and think, uh-oh, I can't take this guy on right now. Can I get away? Let's see if I go find the equivalent of Jesus in the video game. No, it doesn't work that way. Jesus is over it all. He not just has the cheat codes, he made the game. And if he wants that big boss you can face or that big trial you're facing gone, he can do it like that. Because think about it. What happened? Whoops. When they woke up Jesus, he just said, "Peace, be still." I don't know, that's a pretty short phrase. To stop an entire storm. Last year when the tornado came through, if I stood outside in the middle of it and said, "Peace, be still." You know, the wind had probably taken me from where I was down past, the end of town. I could wave at my favorite hairdresser as I went by. Because it wouldn't have worked. Because guess what? I'm not Jesus. The thing is, when the storm comes, oftentimes that's when we wake up Jesus, when we need to realize Jesus has already said, we're going to make it. Ultimately, we're going to beat the challenge. We're going to overcome the difficulty. It may go through a path we're not comfortable with and we may not like. And Jesus says, if you're facing hard times, pray about it. But at the end of the day, are we trusting Him to be who He is? Are we more afraid of Him or are we more afraid of the storm? The problem in our lives, we're afraid of the wrong things. We're afraid of the thing that we see in front of us. Instead of having a healthy fear of God, who says, the one, I can take you through it. I'm greater than it. I've used this example before. You're going down a dark hallway and this guy comes up to you, pulls out a knife and says, you're going to get you. You know, I don't know if you notice, I'm not Chuck Norris. Just, no. I try to do one of those moves and I might beat the bad guy because he'll die laughing. That's about the way I would do it. But you know, if he comes up, but if I've got my little brother with me, by the way, my little brother is 3.5 inches taller and carries a very large gun. And I got a few of his friends that they don't know his names. You know, he works with the government stuff. I want to look at that bad guy and say, I want to step back and say, I'm not going to be afraid of that guy because you know what? I am afraid of my little brother with a gun. Why? Because he's got the power. But here's the other thing. I know my little brother with the gun loves me. And he's never going to use that power on me. And I also know, unlike my little brother, God knows sometimes that sometimes I need to take the beating. Sometimes I need to face the storm. If I'm going to grow, I've got to face the challenges. I've got to face that thing I'm afraid of. My 16-year-old daughter figured that out, that time she was 15. She figured that out herself. She's got to face what she's afraid of. She joined the high school swim team. She's terrified of water. Why are you doing this, girl? I'm thinking, that's insane. I would never do that. And she said, this is the one way I know I can face it. And you know what I did as her dad? Go for it, girl. Because unlike God, I don't know what's going on. But I knew she was right. She needed to face that monster. Now, they didn't ask her to come back the next year because, well, she was always last. And the coaches have this thing about wanting to win. I don't know what that is. But here's one thing everybody did appreciate, because most of them knew her story. And they cheered her on. Everybody else was wondering, why are you cheering on this girl who's always in last place? Because they knew it wasn't the place she was beating. It was the water she was in that she was beating. She wasn't after beating those other students. She was after beating the thing she was standing in the middle of. And sometimes God wants us to go through the storm because he knows we can beat that storm. That we have the strength to make it through if we just trust him. And you say, what if the storm kills me? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Guess what? As Christians, we still win. So we don't have to be afraid of the storm. It's natural to be, we're human beings. But we don't have to be afraid of the storm. Because we've got a God who's greater than the storm. And if he's allowing us to face the storm, we can trust him. Because he knows what we really need in our lives. Or maybe, just maybe, what we're facing isn't for us. Maybe us facing the storm isn't about us getting stronger, but it's about us being in the right place to reach someone else or to help someone else. Then it'll be worth it. Jesus got up, he rebuked the storm, and he rebuked his disciples. And I don't know about you, sometimes God comes into my life and says, grow up. I don't like that. Because, you know, I like to think of myself as growing up, as mature, as maybe even arrived a little bit, until I face a storm, and then God all of a sudden says, get it together, buddy. Get it together. But that rebuke didn't come with a dismissal. Yes, Jesus rebuked his disciples. He corrected his disciples. But he did not cast them aside. And we may not be able to always handle the storm, and we may do poorly, and Jesus may need to come and rebuke us. But he'll help us. And we need to remember, since God is with us, we really don't have to be afraid. Fear will come. It often does. We're human beings. But as I like to talk with people who sometimes face grief in their life because they've done something, and they think, oh, if I'd only done more, things have been better. I look at them and say, this grief that you're feeling, this sorrow that you're feeling, it's not real. It's real because you feel it, but you really didn't do anything wrong. You did everything you were supposed to do. And yes, this feels real. But you don't have to accept it. and God comes into our lives and says, yes, that fear is real, feels real. It feels right there in front of you, and it seems to want to consume you, but it's not true. I am greater than this. And he's willing to stand beside us, to walk beside us, reach out his hand and say, come with me. And to help us face those fears. Psalm chapter 41. Scripture says, blessed are those who have a regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. The Lord protects and preserves them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desires of their foes. The Lord sustains them on their sick bed. He restores them from the bed of illness. God promises that he'll be with us in the middle of the storm. And sometimes says, well, they died. Guess what? As a Christian, we've talked about just a moment ago. That's victory. Isaiah 51, 12 through 16 says, I am he who comforts you. Why should be afraid of mortal men? Of a son of man who withers like grass. But you have forgotten the Lord, your maker, who stretched out the heavens, who laid the foundations of the Lord. You live in terror all day long because of the fury of the oppressor, who is bent on his destruction. But where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive will soon be freed. He will not die in the dungeon, and his bread will not be lacking. For I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the seas that its waves roar. By the way, I have to wonder, who sent that storm to face the disciples? Jesus did. God did. God allowed that storm to come. Who stirs up the sea that waves to roar? The Lord of hosts is his name. I put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand to establish the heavens, to found the earth, and to say to Zion, you are my people. The children of Israel facing hard times, they were wondering what was going on. They were seeing Babylon, other nations of the world, confronting them and conquering them. And thinking, what's going on? And God says, I'm sending you this word. You are my people. In other words, you don't have to be afraid. And I'm here to tell you today, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are his people. He's there for you. And he's going to take you through the storm. The storm is not greater than God. God is greater than the storm. And God promises us that are Christians that he will use whatever happens in our lives for his good. The storm's bad. Yeah, the storm's bad. But God will turn it to good. Does that mean what we face? We ought to be, oh, I'm glad that somebody in my family's sick. I'm glad that last night my daughter took some new medication and it seemed like it clicked a switch and turned off all of her other medication. And some of it was her psychological medication. And all of a sudden she went into this reaction where anything and everything that she touched was like ants crawling on her skin. God's in control. But do you think that I felt, woohoo, in the middle of that? No. Because my daughter was suffering. Did I know that God was going to help her through it? Did I know that by the time that she got through and got to today, that medication would get out of her system and she'd be okay? And I had to try to tell her that in the midst of her, yeah. But did that make that moment any easier? No. And let me tell you something, just because I say and I preach we need to trust God doesn't mean that those moments get easier. Those moments are still hard. Those moments still hurt. But we have a God who's greater than those moments. And we can look to him and he can give us the strength to make it. Jesus wants our faith to be at such a place that we don't mirror the storm. We mirror him. The disciples, they were mirroring the storm. Here's the truth. It's very probable if they had not have panicked when the storm came and all been quiet in the boat, maybe even sleeping like Jesus was, the boat would have would handled the waves a lot better. But if you've got a bunch of people standing on the edge of the boat trying to throw the water out, then a boat seems to go like this, which means more water gets in. And that's the truth sometimes. Sometimes when we mirror the environment, we're trying to fix the problem, we ended up making the problem even worse. But as we grow in faith, we stop mirroring the world around us, the storm, and we start mirroring Jesus. And do we see that? Yeah, we see that because later, Peter is being crucified. Not necessarily, if anybody read anything about crucifixion, a pleasant experience. And what does he say? I am not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Wow. There's a change there has happened. He's no longer mirroring the environment. He's mirroring the one he's truly looking to. And the amazing thing happened, the more we grow in our faith, the easier it is to mirror Jesus than to mirror the storm. And that's where God wants to take us. He wants to take us to that place where we mirror him and not the world around us. And I don't know about you, I don't want to mirror the world around me. I don't want to mirror that nasty relative who gets me upset every time. Yeah, we definitely don't want to mirror them. I don't want to mirror the politicians. No, we're not even going to go there. I don't want to mirror the storm. I want to mirror Jesus. Which means I need to grow in my faith. I need to get into the Word of God. I need to let it get into me. And I don't need to be afraid of the storm. But I need to have a healthy respect, healthy fear of God. And when it seems like Jesus is sleeping, maybe we need to too. Just relax and trust him. Because sometimes there's nothing you can do. And in those moments, guess what? You probably shouldn't do anything. And I'll tell you what, I'm still learning that one. I've confessed that just a few moments ago when I told you that my wife was trying to talk to me and I was wanting to fix it. I wasn't resting and letting her. I was trying to do and sinking the boat. Sometimes, you know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I don't think I can use that illustration today. Just follow Christ, okay? Let's all get closer to him and what he wants us to be. So what are you looking at? The storm? Are you looking to Jesus? Let's look to Jesus. Father, I ask right now that you be in our lives. Help us look to you to be our Lord, our Savior, the one who will take us through every difficult time and every circumstances. And Lord, we give ourselves to you, trusting you will watch over us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And now, Father, I ask that you be with us as we go from this place today. And Lord, let us be what you want us to be. Let us reflect you and not the storm. And bring us comfort in those times that are hard, I ask. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless. Go with God.